Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this time. We come before your presence to worship you, the great and good God. Thank you for calling us to yourself. Thank you for all that you intend for our lives. Thank you that we can have a part in your kingdom, in your working of your purposes. Father, we pray that you will strengthen us, help us to be true to you, teach us how to run the race with endurance, that we may be faithful to you each step of the way till the very end. And that when we meet you face to face, you may be pleased, and that we may not have to turn away in shame. Father, we commit this time to your hands and pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us, that we may understand what you intend to communicate to us through the scriptures. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 61st message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 30th message. And the subtopic for today, trustworthy and faithful. Trustworthy and faithful. Today I want to consider with you the meaning and importance of this quality of being trustworthy and faithful as a child of God. We'll see that moral, spiritual beauty and stature of a person has a direct bearing on it. We may ask ourselves, what is most important to a Christian? One way of expressing it is being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord is most important. As a general description of the person, and also for specific issues and situations, that is, in our description of a person, what is most important, we can, one way of expressing is to be regarded as trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. The other is when we go to specific situations, one way of expressing it as to what is most important is to be trustworthy, to be faithful in the light, in eyes of the Lord, in the way we go through the situation. This should take precedence over all else. If we fail and fare poorly in this aspect, it would be of no avail. However much we may appear to be able to accomplish, and whatever we may attain to in the eyes of men, however others may regard us and think of us, or whatever they may express in their appreciation of our lives, we can look at it from the other angle, the opposite way around. However others may think of us, even if they think of us very poorly, they misunderstand us, they treat us badly, they despise us, but if in reality the Lord regard us as trustworthy and faithful, then that is what matters. What would be a suitable and meaningful longing of our heart at all times? We can say the constant longing of our heart and also our prayer ought to be that we be trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord. What is the primary concern of Paul's heart? Let us refer to two verses in the scriptures, and these are also the key verses on the subject we are considering today, on being trustworthy and faithful. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. We can see these two verses summarizes to us the primary concerns in the heart of Paul. He says, let a man regard us in this manner, how one way of viewing a believer, a child of God, viewing people like Paul, he says, would be as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. And what is required of stewards? That one be found trustworthy. Why I say this can summarize to us the primary concerns, the heart of Paul? Because here, Paul talks about the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes, which he explains in greater detail in his epistles to the Ephesians and Colossians. We'll look a bit more at this subsequently. We've also considered this in earlier messages. This is what Paul is concerned about in his heart. The mystery. The other is that Paul discharges his responsibility as a steward of the mystery. And a key quality of a steward of the mysteries of God is being trustworthy. If you are trustworthy, then you can fulfill your part as a good steward of the mystery of God. The Greek word translated trustworthy can also be translated faithful, and is translated faithful in various contexts in the New American Standard Bible, and we'll be referring to some of these verses subsequently. It's related to the Greek word for faith or trust. So you can say faith, faithfulness, trust, trustworthy. Someone who is trustworthy is someone in whom you can trust. So we can see the primary concern of Paul's heart is to be a trustworthy and faithful steward of the mystery. That this is what counts, not what others think or say of us, or even what we think of ourselves, if it is not consistent with the reality of how God looks at our lives. So as Paul in the preceding verses is talking about the ministry, how he planted, Apollos watered, and so on, in chapter 3 verse 6, and the need to build well on this foundation from verse 11 onwards. So in the context of life and ministry, Paul mentions in chapter 4, he says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, and the important quality being trustworthy. And he went on to say in verses 3 to 5, he says, to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. That is, he says that ultimately it's not so much how other people regard you, or even how you regard yourself. But the one who examines me is the Lord. He says, ultimately, that's what counts. Verse 5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. So ultimately, it is the reality and how God looks at our lives. That is what counts. And in this regard, he says that he is very concerned about the mystery, and as stewards of the mysteries of God, and associated with that, the very important key quality of being trustworthy. That is, he will fulfill faithfully what God has entrusted to him. We'll see afterwards This is what consumes the life of Paul, a very deep sense of the importance of what God has entrusted to him, and that he faithfully fulfilled and discharged what God has entrusted to him. But now we'll just briefly look at the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus also tells us that how we fare in this area is what counts when we meet him. What is most important when we meet him face to face, when the Lord Jesus comes again? That is, whether we have been trustworthy and faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. And the context in verse 40 is the second coming of Christ. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Important thing to be ready for the second coming. And how to be ready? Verse 42, the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So the critical issue when we meet the Lord face to face, he says, is whether we are faithful, sensible stewards of what he has entrusted. And if it is so, then blessed, verse 43. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. And this blessedness, this approval of the Lord, he's being pleased with us. If we are faithful, sensible stewards, by the way, the word translated faithful here, the same word translated trustworthy in the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we looked at just now. The same word here is translated as faithful. Trustworthy steward, faithful steward. Blessed, of course, we know, is something very precious to us. The Lord's approval, the Lord's favor, blessings upon us. And we see straight away here that it has a direct bearing on our well-being and how we will fare and carry on in eternity. Verse 44, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. What is this referring to? It's not so much referring to what has already taken place in the past, but it's in regards to the future. And here is a reference to the Lord Jesus coming again. He's coming again. When we see him, if we are faithful, he is blessed, and he will put us in charge of all his possessions. That is, further responsibilities. What will carry on in eternity, how we will work out together with the Lord in eternity. So it will have a direct bearing also on how we fare and what will be the way we work out together with the Lord in eternity. Trustworthy, faithful. Generally, these qualities are recognized as important qualities in a person. What we would look for in others, when we look at a person, what we would look for, we want to look for people who are trustworthy, who are faithful. We can say it is also how we would like others to regard us. If we are sensible, we would want people to regard us as trustworthy and faithful people. We also know that it is very important in the eyes of the Lord. We can also say this is what we should aim to become. So it is important for us to be clearer as to what this means and how we can be trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord, which in the end is the most important. Even if others regard us as trustworthy, faithful, or we regard ourselves in that manner, but if the Lord does not regard us that way, it is useless. And this is also relevant in various contexts of life, which we can also ponder about. For example, we may be concerned about the issue and be thinking about the issue of friendship. What is a true friend? We would like to have true friends. and to be a true friend to someone else. But what does it mean? What is the meaning of being trustworthy and faithful friend? Is it someone who will stick with you through thick and thin? Who will support you under all circumstances? Someone who you can depend upon to be on your side at all times? What about being a trustworthy and faithful spouse? We should seek to learn to be that way, but what does that mean? Or parent? Or a child? A servant of the Lord? As a Christian? As a member of a congregation? As a member of the body of Christ? What does it mean? What does it mean to be trustworthy, faithful from the Christian perspective? What we should then aim to become, and what we should look for in others. What does God look for? Trustworthy, faithful communicates to us, as we've seen, this is important, eyes of the Lord, is that God is looking for those who are deserving of trust. Someone who is trustworthy is someone who is deserving of trust. Someone deserving of trust and confidence. You can be confident in this person, one who is reliable, who is dependable, who is truthful, who is faithful. Associated ideas, a person with good attitudes and character, who is honest, with good motives. And you can say, a trustworthy person will not let you down. If we understand the meaning of not letting you down. A person who will not betray you, who will not do negative things to you. That is someone you can trust. These are generally associated ideas, but we'll ponder further. What do these things mean from the biblical perspective? Trustworthy, faithful person is also one who is steadfast. He will not buckle, give way under pressure. It's no point someone who will fulfill these things only when things are easy. But when pressure mounts, he buckles under, he gives way, he is no longer faithful. Someone who will faithfully fulfill his role and responsibility. Who will not fail, but will fulfill reasonable, legitimate expectations. Well, reasonable, legitimate expectations brings to mind that we can have wrong expectations, then that is a different matter. But someone who is trustworthy and faithful will not fail reasonable, legitimate expectations. But again, we need to look at these things from the biblical perspective. Who can be relied upon to fulfill a task entrusted. You can say a responsible person. All these are associated ideas that we associate with someone who is trustworthy, who is faithful. Well, we'll now look at it more carefully from the biblical perspective, bearing in mind these associated ideas. But if we just ponder over and look at these associated ideas in themselves, if we are not careful, we may hold views, expectations, concepts that are not biblical because it can be influenced by the thinking of the world or by our own fleshly thinking and expectations. Let us look at some verses in the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 5 says, a trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. A trustworthy witness is one who is reliable, dependable for his witness. The witness that he gives is reliable. So he does not lie, he does not say what is not true. So being a trustworthy witness, being a trustworthy person, such a person will speak and testify to the truth in a truthful manner. He will not lie or distort the truth, whether it be for personal gain and advantage, or self-interest, or to please others. or for the gain and advantage of other people and their self-interest, even though sometimes they may be under pressure in those directions. And one who is a trustworthy witness will maintain this position, this posture, under difficult circumstances when being truthful would mean difficulties and pain. That is, his testimony is trustworthy, reliable. He testifies to the truth. And from the biblical perspective, we know that this is very important, not just in the everyday sense that society talks about a witness, because this idea of witness, there's a biblical sense to it that is very important. For example, the Lord Jesus, he's the one whom we would want to follow. And the Apostle John describes the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, as the faithful witness. You can see this is a striking characteristic. One way of describing the Lord Jesus is as the faithful witness. We have seen the Lord Jesus also described as the Word of God. He's the Word of God. He's the faithful witness. He will faithfully witness to the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So he witnesses, he communicates to us, he tells us the truth, what he knows of God, what he knows of the truth, and not only tells us, his very life, his own life, bears testimony to the truth. Not just by word, but also by his life, his conduct. Every aspect of his being communicates truth. And he's absolutely trustworthy, reliable. He is the faithful witness. Likewise, we know the Lord Jesus also wants us to be his witnesses. Last few words in the Gospel of Luke, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Likewise, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus wants us to be his witnesses even to the remotest part of the earth. In fact, in that context there, you know, the Lord Jesus communicates to us that the empowering of the Spirit, which he indicates to the believers, will come upon them on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit will come upon them, he told the disciples. And then he says in verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my and you shall be my witnesses." So the empowering of the Spirit, one major reason for the Lord pouring forth the Spirit, is to empower us so that we can be his faithful witnesses. We are to be his witnesses, and following the example of the Lord Jesus, we must also learn to be faithful witnesses. And just like him, truth, testifying to the truth faithfully, accurately. But of course, it means we first need to know the truth. Then we can testify to it. But like the Lord Jesus, God wants us not only to testify with our lips, but the truth becoming a part of our lives so that we manifest the truth. What God intends for mankind, how God desires men to live, God's intentions for us in Christ. But the testimony must be trustworthy, faithful, testifying to the truth accurately, and also the realities in our own life, in the life of the witness, just like the Lord Jesus, the faithful witness. Proverbs 11 verse 13, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." If we read this superficially, then we may think being trustworthy, you must always try to conceal things. But we know this cannot be, because a witness has to speak. Testify to the truth, very important, what we speak. So important to look at the context here. It says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. So the context here is talking about, in contrast to the talebearer, which is negative, the talebearer is a gossiper, or someone who gossips, who reveals, who talks about things he ought not to. In contrast, one who is trustworthy. So one aspect of it we can bear in mind for someone to be trustworthy is one who can be relied upon to be wise and discreet with what he knows, in particular sensitive information, in contrast to a talebearer. Not one who is a gossip, not one who is careless in speech, not one who speaks or conducts himself in a way, in a manner that is negative, destructive, that promotes strife and dissension. Those are the implications associated with a talebearer who reveals secrets, who talks about things he ought not to be talking about. That's harmful, negative, destructive. So trustworthy also includes this part about being constructive, wise, discreet. Not just that you know a lot of things, you're knowledgeable, but also you are wise. And there's a positive direction in your life. So it does not mean that you always keep silent. That is always better. As I mentioned, a faithful witness must also learn to speak, to speak up and to testify to the truth as God desires of him. So the biblical perspective that God desires of us to be faithful witnesses, that we are to speak as he desires of us, but not in a careless manner, not in a manner that causes harm and damage, but be wise and discreet with what we have learned from him. In the New Testament, I find two occasions where this Greek word is translated trustworthy and used with reference to a person, that is Paul. In many other contexts, it's translated faithful. With reference to a person, there are two occasions I find the scriptures, and both with reference to the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. We referred to this verse in an earlier message. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. In this context, Paul is advising the Corinthians regards to various issues, in particular here, relationships, the area of relationships, marriage. And he says, I give an opinion who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. When we are appreciating this word trustworthy, or can also be translated as faithful, it's the same word. You can use it as a general description of the Apostle Paul, that he is trustworthy. But in immediate context, there's special reference to what he is saying and what he writes, that he is reliable. I give an opinion who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. So he's given opinion, and then he qualifies, he is trustworthy. He's trustworthy in what he says. That means what he says is reliable. What he says, what he writes, he knows what he's talking about. He's knowledgeable, he's wise, he's careful. He pays attention to accuracy, so that when people act upon what he says, they can have the confidence that he has not spoken carelessly. He is careful, wholesome, and also he is knowledgeable, so that we ought to pay heed to what he says, especially in things pertaining to the Christian faith and God's kingdom. One whom God can trust and entrust things. He's dependable. And Paul says, I give an opinion as one who, by the mercy of the Lord, is trustworthy. By the mercy of the Lord, communicates to us that it is because of the Lord's enabling, the Lord's working in his life. Paul is very conscious of this, and it is important that we recognize, in order to be trustworthy, it must be as a result of the Lord's working in our lives. It's by the mercy of the Lord that we can move in a direction, nurture this quality, and attain to a state where we can be described as trustworthy. The other reference in the New Testament, this word used reference to a person, to the Apostle Paul, occurs in the two key verses that I've read to you just now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I want to elaborate a little more here in this present context. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. We can say that not only through these two verses, but through the epistles of Paul, what comes through is that Paul has a very deep sense of his responsibility as steward of the mystery. We can say that to Paul, this is a primary mission of his life. And it's something that is helpful for us to ponder about, and its relevance to our own lives. What is it that's really important? Be trustworthy and faithful, and especially in relation to what? For Paul, it is deep sense of the importance of being trustworthy and faithful in the way he discharges his responsibility as steward of the mystery. We've looked at this in times past. Now, just quickly, refresh your memory in relation to this aspect. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. What comes true to us? Paul's deep sense of the importance of the way he fulfills and discharges his responsibility as a faithful steward of the mystery of God. Not the mystery. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. I will not read through every word, but to get across the main issues. Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So for what he is about to describe here, Paul says, he gladly suffer. He says, for your sake. And of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your behalf, bestowed on me for your behalf. So for Paul, this is one angle looking at his life, that primarily is a discharging of this responsibility. He was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. For the benefit of others, he says, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. In times past, I have mentioned the preaching of is in italics. You can say to fully carry out the word of God, the mystery, verse 26. To fully carry out God's intentions in regard to the mystery. It is for this that Paul was made a minister, a servant of the Lord, with his stewardship entrusted to him, the mystery. Hidden ages past, now manifested. That God wants to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is what Paul is deeply concerned about. We can say that that is at the very center of his attention, the whole thrust of his life. You can say the primary mission of Paul's life. And how he goes about it, verse 28, he says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ, that all may grow unto maturity in Christ. This is a very key aspect of God's intentions for man, the mystery, and this is what we are considering, moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature, complete in Christ or mature in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. So the primary sense of responsibility, the mission of Paul's life, is to be a faithful steward of the mystery. It tells us here, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 and 2, and this also comes through very strongly in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. I've gone through this with you in times past, just a quick refreshment of your memory. As you look at Ephesians chapter 3, and we know chapter 3 comes after verses chapters 1 and 2, where Paul had been talking about the mystery. And Paul tells us here about the stewardship of God's grace, verse 2. And this is related to the revelation made known to him, the mystery. So a primary aspect of the stewardship of God's grace has to do with the mystery. And it is the mystery of Christ, verse 4. My insight into the mystery of Christ is centered on God's intentions for us in Christ. Hidden ages past, but now made known. The Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow saints. And Paul says, of which I was made a minister. Of which refers to the gospel, which he tells us in verse 6, the preceding verse. Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister. And the gospel is the good news of the mystery, God's intentions for us. And he says, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. God's grace was for him to be a minister, to be a faithful steward, the stewardship of this mystery. Verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Verse 11, in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus. So Paul was deeply concerned, deeply impressed with what God had entrusted, the mystery, and being a faithful steward of what God had entrusted to him. And a key quality, which he tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, of being stewards of the mysteries of God, is being trustworthy. That is, faithful and effective discharge of this grave responsibility, which has far-reaching implications. So even as we see that being trustworthy, faithful, is a very, very major, important issue, it's good to see this linked together with what is of primary importance in the heart of God. Trustworthy, faithful, regard to what? One, you can say, is a general description of a person, the quality of a person. He's trustworthy, he's faithful. But in what direction? A very major aspect of it has to do with the discharge of the responsibility of being a steward of the mysteries of God. But later we will see that this is also closely related to the general aspects of the key quality of being trustworthy and faithful, because being a steward of the mystery of God is not just by words, but also through our lives. So in Paul's own testimony, he says, the Lord considered him faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. So even as Paul regards being trustworthy, being faithful as something very important, Paul says that God considered him, Paul, to be faithful or trustworthy. And he links this together with service. God regards him as faithful, trustworthy, and this is related to God entrusting him with service. And how to fulfill this, God strengthens him. Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. And these are also the key things that we need to be very concerned about for our own lives. In our desire to understand the meaning of being trustworthy and faithful and how to be trustworthy and faithful from the biblical perspective, I see it's helpful to appreciate the meaning of being trustworthy and faithful from the biblical perspective in two senses. One is the general sense and the other is the specific. We first consider the general sense. The general sense of being trustworthy and faithful from the biblical perspective is wide. And you can say this is the most important sense. And from what we've been considering, we can summarize it this way. It is to what degree we are reliable and God can depend on us. And to elaborate further, reliable and depend on us in what sense, in what direction? We can say to faithfully manifest and transmit the truth. That God doesn't want us just to be a spokesman or a mouthpiece to communicate the truth, but it's also to be a faithful witness, to manifest the truth in our lives. Reliable, dependable, to faithfully manifest and transmit the truth as revealed in the scriptures, at the heart of which is the mystery of what is in God's heart, his kind intention to us, toward us in Christ, and how his purposes can be fulfilled in all its width, height, and depth. That is, to be a trustworthy, faithful steward of God's mystery, just like the Apostle Paul. What was a primary concern in his heart? This ought also to be the primary concern of our heart. And not just concepts and ideas, but also moral and spiritual realities, embodied in our being and manifested in our lives with full conviction. This is what we should all aim towards. And a very good example for us in the scriptures is the Apostle Paul. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul wrote, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake." This is Paul's testimony and also how he lived out his life, the illustration of it. He didn't just proclaim the truth. He says, our gospel did not come to you in word only. That's very important. Faithfulness, accuracy in the proclamation of the truth. But he says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. First, he himself is fully convicted, and he's in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, just as you know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake. It also comes together with life, illustrated in his life. Man of conviction, and also the truth of the gospel realized, manifested in his life. How he has grown in the Lord, his knowledge of the Lord, of the truth, and how he conducts himself whilst amongst them. We can say this is following the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God, the faithful witness, as we have referred to just now in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and the one whom the Apostle John describes as full of grace and truth. So the Lord Jesus himself, he manifests grace and also truth not just proclaim the truth, but also his very being. And this is meant to be a continuing thing. Often believers think of communicating gospel in terms of sharing with someone else the words of truth. And even in that, often not so wholesome. But the scriptural presentation, what God desires of us, goes far beyond that. The Lord Jesus is a perfect example, and also we see in the Apostle Paul that this is to be manifested in word but also in life, and this is to be a continuing thing in various situations and contexts, including the midst of difficulties, pain, opposition, and pressures. Under persecution, being slandered, misunderstood, we see all this taking place in the life of Paul. He testifies to us in various portions, including in the second epistle to the Corinthians. In the midst of spiritual pressures, opposition, attacks and wiles of the evil one, the Apostle Paul perseveres and the truth continues to be manifested in his life. That is part of the meaning of being a trustworthy and faithful steward of God's mystery. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Paul wrote, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition." So suffered, mistreated, amid much opposition, he continues to testify to the truth of the gospel in words as well as by his life. In verse 3, he says, "Our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit." So the communication of the gospel without error, so the truth accurately, wholesomely communicated, or impurity or by way of deceit, this has to do with what is in the heart of the one who is communicating, the servant of God. So the life of the servant of God, Paul himself and his co-workers. Verse 4, "But just as we've been approved by God, we entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as men, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts." So we see here Paul mentioning this, that being entrusted with the gospel is linked to being approved by God. Approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that God regards him as trustworthy and God has entrusted him with the gospel. It is so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Whatever he says, whatever he speaks, his primary concern is not that it pleases men, although, yes, he doesn't want unnecessarily to antagonize people. Wherever possible, he wants to get along well with others. But the main thing ultimately is pleasing God who examines our hearts. What springs forth from the heart as of primary importance. "For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness." Flattering often to get your own way by making the other person feel happy, but it is not of the truth. So Paul says the whole approach is the manifestation of truth, of which flattering speech will not be consistent with it. "Nor with a pretext for greed, no negative, unhealthy, personal desires, whether be for material things, greed, nor did we seek glory from men, reputation, recognition from men, either from you or from others." Verse 7, "But we proved to be gentle among you." Here Paul goes on to talk about the whole way he goes about it by life, and also that he's trying to communicate not merely the truth of the gospel, but also he was sharing with them his very life. Verse 7, "We proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." In verse 8, "Having so fond an affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. So the ministry, the communication, is not only the gospel in words, but he says also the impartation and the sharing, the fellowship, the communication of his own life in his relationship with them, because you become very dear to us. The relationship aspect, the love for them, the concern for them. And so in this regard, he was prepared to labor in the midst of hardship. Verse 9, for you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship. And finally, in verse 10, again, he comes back to this aspect of the testimony, the communication, not only words, but also the quality of life of the one communicating. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you, believers. So we see here what Paul talks about in the whole communication of the gospel, to be faithful witnesses of the Lord. Without error, the communication of the truth of the gospel. The other is from the purity of motive and the deep concern for those we are reaching out to, and the sharing of our lives, and not just the words, for which he was prepared to suffer, to be mistreated, to labor, to suffer hardship. So in the communication of the gospel, in being a faithful, trustworthy steward of the Lord, whatever the situation, the difficulties, the one who is faithful and trustworthy will not waver, he will not deviate, he will not turn away, he will not refuse to carry on, but he will persevere faithfully. So in this general sense, it is not just a specific situation, but to what degree the child of God will faithfully carry on and manifest the truth in his life at all times, including how God wants us to conduct ourselves in the various situations of life. So as a general description, the second is specific. So the first is a general description of a person. The second is more specific, and that is to what degree we will faithfully discharge whatever responsibilities, roles and tasks God entrusts to us. Have we been faithful in a particular task? We can say trustworthy, responsible, faithful in the way we discharge that responsibility, that role, that task. The other is, in specific situations, we can say to what degree we conduct ourselves the way God desires of us in specific situations, including how we approach and handle a matter, what we say and how we say it. So in a specific situation, have you been faithful, trustworthy? Can God depend on us, trust us to handle the situation well? That is the way God desires of us. Do we have the wisdom? Can God entrust that task to us, whether to talk to a person or to handle that particular situation? This includes the knowledge that we have, the wisdom, the prayerful spirit. Can God entrust to us? And when we actually go through it, will we go through it well, faithfully? Well, these are various aspects we will continue to ponder about, the Lord willing. In the next message, we will continue to ponder about this further, including the meaning of being a trustworthy, faithful friend, spouse, parent, child, member of the congregation, member of the body of Christ, and so on. For today, some concluding remarks. Let us take note that the scriptures tells us that not many are trustworthy. It's very important, but not many are trustworthy. It's a sad thing. Proverbs 20 verse 6 tells us, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Many of us may, many may say, I'm trustworthy, I'm faithful. But who can find a trustworthy man? The implication is, it's not easy to find a trustworthy man. Why is this so? Why is it difficult to find a trustworthy man? It is because it is not easy to be a trustworthy person, especially in the New Testament sense of being trustworthy and faithful in the eyes of the Lord, the way, for example, the Apostle Paul is trustworthy and faithful. That is because of the cost involved. That's one angle of looking at it. But the other major aspect is that there's a need to nurture good qualities in every aspect of our lives and being. That is, every aspect of moral, spiritual, beauty and stature. And I emphasize, every aspect is important if we want to be truly a well-rounded, trustworthy, faithful person in the eyes of the Lord, trustworthy, faithful steward of the mystery. So the importance of moral, spiritual, beauty and stature and its relationship with being a trustworthy servant of God. You can say one of the most, one of the ways of looking at how to prepare, how to become a trustworthy, faithful servant, steward of the Lord, is to nurture moral, spiritual, beauty and stature in all aspects, so that we'll be faithful, steadfast under all circumstances, whatever God desires of us. There are three vital aspects. One is the moral character, attitude, healthy spirit. This is the first aspect, the moral character, our attitude, and a healthy spirit. The second is knowledge of the truth. The third aspect is spiritual maturity and wisdom. The moral character, attitude, spirit, healthy spirit, very important, but then we also need knowledge of the truth. And then the more mature we are, and the wiser we are to learn how to apply the knowledge, the more we will be able to fulfill and discharge and be faithful in what God entrusts to us. So very relevant, what we know and understand in all its width, height and depth, we must earnestly long to grow in our knowledge of the truth in increasing measure. But then we also need to understand that this is not a mental thing. It's a personal appreciation, conviction, and the reception of these truths into our lives, and then how they are reflected and manifested in our lives, and the effective communication and transmission to others. Let us learn from the example of Paul, the trustworthy and faithful steward of all that God entrusted to him. And finally, let us pay heed to the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 44, what we referred to just now. Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Will we be found faithful, sensible stewards when the Lord comes? Is that his pronouncement? Will we be amongst those whom the Lord approves of? Blessed. And when our days on earth are done, may the Lord say to us, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful slave. The faithful there can also is the same word, which can be translated trustworthy. Well done, good and trustworthy and faithful slave. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper, reflect over our lives prayerfully. Let us look to the Lord and ask Him to search our hearts. Would He consider us as faithful and trustworthy? Will we be really true to Him? not just in specific situations, though that is important, but also generally, at all times. Will we manifest the truth in our lives? Just like the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. But first of all, we need to know the truth, to know the Lord, to know what He has revealed. Absorb them, and then manifest the truth in our lives, in words and also in conduct, and the spiritual realities that flow forth from our life that can touch the hearts and minds of others. Will we waver, crumble under pressure, or will we be faithful, steadfast in the truth? Will we be amongst those whom the Lord can count upon, to whom God can entrust? We want to serve God. We want to be entrusted with responsibilities by the Lord. But can the Lord entrust to us responsibilities? Will we be faithful? Are we trustworthy? Or are there many other personal desires in our hearts? Many weaknesses that the evil one can easily take advantage of, so that we will not be able to persevere, but in different kinds of situations we will go astray. Let us ask the Lord to search our hearts, that He may have the freedom to speak to us before we partake of the Lord's Supper. What are the areas of weaknesses that we need to deal with? What are the areas that we need to grow stronger, that indeed, like the Apostle Paul, the Lord may regard us as faithful? Men and women of conviction, who know the truth, who know the Lord, whom God can entrust responsibilities to, and who will faithfully discharge what God entrusts to us. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the depth of Your love toward us. Thank You for Your high calling and all that You've done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, You know that we love You. And we also recognize that even as we say we love You, it's important that we learn to be faithful to You. The men and women whom You would regard as trustworthy and faithful. We also know that in order to be trustworthy and faithful in Your sight, we need to know You, to know the truth, to know what You revealed, to absorb the truth into our lives, and to manifest the truth, and to communicate and transmit the truth through our lips and also by our lives, that indeed we may be faithful witnesses to the truth and faithful witnesses of the Lord, following the example of our Lord Jesus, the faithful witness. That indeed, what is described the Lord Jesus, His life full of grace and truth, may increasingly be true and manifested in our lives. Father, we know that there are many weaknesses within us. We have a long way to go, and yet we know that we cannot excuse ourselves because Your provisions are abundant. We pray that You help us not to be slothful, but to be earnest. That our preoccupation will not be with the realm of the seen, or what people think and say of us, but our concentration will be on what You require of us, and how we can encourage, uphold one another in that direction, that together, as members of the body of Christ, we may be able to move forward together as faithful stewards of the mystery. We thank You for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that You will help us to know what are the areas in our lives that needs to be put right, and areas that we need to work at. We pray and give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.